I first want to start off thank you for the people that on our fundraising side that donated. It's really helped us out in a lot of ways, and that leads into
bigly huge.
Well, bigly huge because of the encouragement, and also bigly huge because it allows us to do some cool things. And one of the cool things we're going to be doing is
season finale contest time.
Oh, it's going to be awesome! Season finale contest, yes.
Contest, yay!
So, if you're one of Chad's friends, you're automatically disqualified. But the rest of you can no.
Chad doesn't have any friends.
Yay! Contest!
There we go.
That's better.
No. So, next week, we are planning on having a live episode.
Yeah!
We put out on Facebook already that we are going to take listener questions. We already have some coming in.
Thank you.
So, thank you very much for those who have already done that. That is how one of the ways you can enter the contest. Another way is to show up live with us, which is what time do we record it? So 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time,
2 p.m. Mountain Time, 4 p.m. End of the Earth, Horrible Land.
Justin Trudeau time.
Or Toronto.
JT time.
I believe that's Eastern Standard. And another way to enter is also, instead of just showing up and making a comment, ask us questions, interact with us live.
Exactly. Come to the live thing. Send your friends the live thing. We can all be on the live thing on YouTube, which means you're going to need a Gmail account or a YouTube account or something in order to join it so you can comment. And we'll leave the comments open. You comment, your name goes in the contest, and boom, we will send you things. And what are the prizes, Steve?
Well, one of the most popular prizes we've had in the past was the Dairy Queen gift card.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Everyone loves ice cream.
$10 worth of milk and meat.
Milk and meat.
See that,
yes.
How that works? It's clever. Yeah.
I forgot how clever we were back then.
Yeah.
Second is an ebook of The Hour That Changed the World.
Yep.
Our favorite prayer book.
Lastly.
No, not lastly, but thirdly.
Third worldly is Al's book, The Foundations.
Woo! We'll send you a paper copy.
Oh, yeah, yay!
Real copy. So if you like physically touching books and the paper and the smell, that's the one that you really want.
This is where Chad says something about a smell emanating from my book.
Ooh. This is the part. No, this is Al's book, but this is a good smelling book.
So, Chad, were you paying attention? Can you repeat the three ways to enter the contest?
Yes. The first way is to send us questions ahead of time, like Stevie from Vancouver Island, Albert from Ottawa, and Cheddarick from Alberta. These three gentlemen are already entered. I hope you will, too. We have the second way is to show up live at 1 p.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Mountain time, 4 p.m. JT time.
On Wednesday, May 31st.
And make a comment. Any comment, you're automatically entered to win. Thirdly, ask a question live.
Yep.
And if that question gets on air, you will automatically move to the front of the line. To win the ultimate prize of getting a lock of Steve's beard sent to you in the mail.
Oh, man.
It's pretty much like having a relic from Jerusalem.
Welcome to Carnivore Theology, a podcast that covers hot topics, current events, and answers your questions to help you grow from milk to meat into wise, skilled, world-changing followers of Jesus Christ. Here's Dr. Chad Graham, Pastor Al Desjardins, and your host, Steve Bastion.
Chad's writing checks Steve's body can't cash.
I gave away chunks of my beard once. They threw it away afterwards.
Oh, yeah. No, nobody wants it. That was a joke. You're not getting any of Steve's body hair.
Well, we should get to the question that I've been wanting to get to for a while. I've been actually a little bit afraid to bring this question up. So the question is, this is the question, and then I'll frame it a little bit here. How much time should one be allowed to put into a hobby, balancing, you know, their Christian walk, their studies, their church? I have a slight obsession with my hobby.
Hobbies, my friend. Hobbies. You have many. You're a Renaissance man, my friend.
Yeah. Basically, I wish I was retired already so I could just do my hobbies all day. Like, one of them is flying things.
Do you pick up seashells on the beach by any chance? No.
Man, have I got a video for you.
I do look for neat pieces of wood on the beach and collect those and then make things out of them. So I love RC planes. I love to think about that. I like building stuff with wood. I like inventing. I got little robotics on the go. I'm getting into 3D printing. Some of it's connected to my job, which is really cool that I get to do that for a job that's passionate. But there's times where I'm sitting in church listening to the sermon. I look outside and I see like a bald eagle circling. And I'm like, oh, I wish I could be flying right now. And 5 minutes later, I come back to reality and listen to the sermon.
Sorry, wait, I was looking outside. There was this eagle flying just past my window there. What were you saying?
So, how much time, how does someone like myself, who so much of my natural interests draw me away from other important things, how does one balance their hobbies with their Christian walk and their family? What are some measures, ways to think about that? Well, actually, guys, do either of you have hobbies? Yeah, tell me about your hobbies too that can be part of this.
Well, yeah, exactly. My hobbies tend to double dip my hobbies now, because most parents, I think, is like, for example, photography, which I do with my son Edison. We're getting into photography. He's got his own online Facebook page that he posts his pictures to called Pickaday, and we work together on that, and it's kind of fun. I do podcasting with my friend Steve and Chad, which I love doing. I enjoy editing and I enjoy doing this. I consider it be not only ministry, but part of my hobby.
Really the high point of your week.
It is, probably. Really. YouTube videos with my daughter Erica. So I help her edit her videos, and we set up the sets, and we do cool ideas, and we write things together.
Happy Juice.
That's Erica's channel is Happy Juice.
My kids love it.
And I watch movies with my son Ethan. We spend a lot of time watching movies together. My daughter Awen doesn't have any big interests. We just kind of hang out. But those are my hobbies. I tend to double dip, so that's what I do for fun. What do you do, Chad?
Well, since I'm now studying law at school, I turned my hobbies to reading patristic literature. So that's like the first 4 centuries of the church, really, depending on your exact definition.
Do I have to answer for you?
Really? Probably spend about an hour a day doing that.
Yeah. No, that doesn't count. That doesn't count.
Why doesn't that count?
You do sports. Because you do sports.
Oh, I do
rugby
sports.
Rugby in a dress? I mean, that you raved about that for a month this fall.
You do sports.
Yeah, I play.
I mean, you do transgender hockey? Sports, but, you know, I mean, they're similar.
Yeah. So, I play in their seasons. I play soccer and rugby and hockey, and I coach my kids in, I haven't coached rugby yet, but soccer and hockey. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of fun. And I take the coaching courses. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I do like that kind of hobby.
Yep.
And
we had to answer for Chad.
Poor Chad. Yeah. I don't know. I school. That's what I do now. I school.
I get smart. Get the initials.
Right. Yeah. I collect initials at the end of my name. It's like seashells, but different.
I also tutor in the classical languages. I think that's kind of fun.
That is kind of fun.
Yeah.
That's okay. Cool.
So, guys, we all have different hobbies. How do we keep this balance? How can we give some guidelines to ourselves and anyone listening? How do we balance our lives with things that we'd sometimes rather be doing than the tough stuff in our lives?
Well, I think the most important, I want to go back to Steve's kind of initial question, that sometimes hobbies can prove to be a challenge to keep in check, because we obviously do our hobbies because they're fun. Like, you get into a riveting 4th century text on the deity of Christ and you're not going to go to sleep that night.
Oh, man. How many times? Well, okay, to your point, we don't seem to have a middle ground as human beings. We either work too much and we completely obsess, turn into workaholics to avoid everybody. Or if we find something fun we like to do, we obsess over that and avoid our families and responsibilities and only do that. And then we resent work. You know, we turn into either workaholics or sluggards.
So to go back to the question, I think we need to turn back to the Puritans. And there we'll find the one of the best answers that we could possibly get. Yeah, and of course, everyone listening and probably you two gentlemen will assume that that has a particular meaning. What would the meaning be thought to said when we say we should go back to the Puritans to know how to deal with our hobbies?
Well, didn't they invent the Protestant work ethic?
Yeah, well, the Protestant work ethic flows out of their thinking.
Yeah.
So as it turns out, the Puritans were really huge on the theology of relaxation. They began to build it out by the idea of the Sabbath concept. God created the earth in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. In the Ten Commandments, the people of God were told to keep the Sabbath day as a special day of rest. And then they were also given days of rest at other times of the year for religious festivals. They were given periods of rest from the land when it was to lie fallow. And then, of course, there was the year of Jubilee every 50 years where the whole country pretty much took a year off. Many people don't realize that, but when John the Baptist did his ministry and we read that the whole of the country came out to hear him, that was during the year of Jubilee.
Oh, was it?
And so people had nothing better to do than to go and hang out with John. And so the gospel was opened up to just about everybody in Israel. So very cool how that was used. So scripture actually has this huge flush out of periods of rest because we're creatures that need rest. We have to sleep X number of hours every day, and that sleep is a blessing from God. So what the Puritans said was this needs to be reflected in our lives. Now it wants to be proportional. God worked for 6 days and rested for one. He didn't rest for 6 days and work for one. And so they looked at having proportional periods of work and rest. And when you work with the Protestant work ethic. And when you relax, you have fun. And the church, the state church that was kind of opposing the Puritans at that time, the church, it would have been called the Church of England, but not in the sense that we have it today. The state church there and the Puritan movement were kind of separating, and the high churchmen criticized the Puritans because they wore gaily colored clothing and played games on Sunday.
There's a thing you don't think about when you think of Puritans.
Yeah.
So you basically think of the Amish when you think of Puritans in our context.
The most gay thing they put on is that weird buckle on their hat.
Yeah. So I think that sets a stage. That's kind of a theological picture stage. It doesn't answer the question directly, but I think it already takes away some of the angst we have. Like, is it evil to enjoy a little bit of fun?
Yeah.
And the simple answer is, frankly, no.
Yeah.
Now I'm turned over to Al to kind of get his thoughts.
I like that.
You started exactly where I started, which is that idea of Jesus said, you know, Sabbath was made for man. You know, Sabbath is critical as a human being. It's something that God worked into the very law. I mean, it's in the moral law. Thou shalt take a Sabbath. It's right along, you know.
Al only reads the law in the King James version.
I read it in the positives, actually. Take a Sabbath. Not. But you know what? I mean, you know, it's right next to don't murder and don't cheat on your spouse, right? Like it's in the moral law. God worked it into the law. You know, like Chad said, you've got, you know, built into daily rest, weekly rest, yearly rest, and then this great big year of Jew. It's in there. So clearly it's important to God and it's designed into us. Jesus got in trouble constantly because he was doing things on the Sabbath. I think he on purpose just to annoy people. And just, well, specifically the Pharisees who completely destroyed even the concept of rest in the Sabbath. They turned it into a burden, into a chore. It wasn't something that was enjoyable anymore. It wasn't a time of worship. And so because of this, we need to start with this idea. Is it okay to have a hobby? Is it okay to do things for rest? Is it okay to do some things differently? Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. You shall work 6 days. On the seventh, you shall rest. That is meant to be a day different, set aside for God and something that isn't productive. It's a day different, a day set aside for worship and relationships with fellow believers. So yes, you can have a hobby, Steve. And yes, you can absolutely enjoy it. However,
good. Where's the balance come in?
However, okay, here's the thing. You can't be a sluggard, okay? So this is God speaks against laziness constantly throughout the Bible. You know, like if
yeah, but Steve said he works hard at his hobby. He's building aircraft, he's flying them, he's crashing them.
Okay, so just
practicing music for church.
Track with me here, okay? So God speaks against laziness. If you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't plan and organize, you're a fool. If you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an unbeliever. I mean, God is very, very serious about making that first part of the commandment, which is 6 days you shall work. Like, make sure you go to work. So don't let sin be your hobby. And what do I mean by that? A lot of hobbies that we have are actually rooted in sin. For example, we do them to show off. They're meant to point to ourselves. They're meant to show off our skills, abilities, talents, whatever. And the only way we get happiness out of it is if we get likes on Facebook, or we're able to go to the contest and win, or people come over and try it and we say, okay, aren't we special?
Like podcasting.
We worked hard. We've been working hard on that one.
Like podcasting, or my YouTube channel with all my flight footage.
Well, think about it this way. Watching sexual movies, right? My hobby is movies, but I'm not discerning about, you know, what I watch. Or they use their hobbies to avoid work. They have things they have to do, but then they choose to do their hobbies. Avoiding responsibilities, avoiding their spouse, right? Well, forget it. I'm not talking to you. I'm leaving. I'm going to go, you know, out and do the lawn work. I'm going to go out and take care of stuff. I'm going to go to the garage. Spending too much money. It's an idol in their life, and they end up giving the sacrifice of their money instead of to God, instead of to their families. They give it to their hobby. It becomes an actual problem. They use it to avoid God. Think of it this way, you know, like someone will say, I worship God through my carpentry. That's how I like to worship in my shop. Even though the radio is blasting classic rock and I haven't read a word of the Bible in weeks, you know, sometimes I do, though, use God's name when I hit my thumb with the hammer. like, honestly, so they, or you avoid as...
Are
as,
you watching me, Al?
As Chad just said, you actually avoid God's mission for your life, the seashells thing. So you use your hobbies to avoid doing what God has actually asked you to do because you're scared or you're disobedient of what these actual, your mission of your life is. So you just run away into your hobby. That's bad, right?
The counterpoint to that, you see when Paul's talking to Timothy and he says that bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is valuable for all things. Mm-hmm. And I think the point there isn't, you know, it's good for us to take care of ourselves, to say exercise, to exercise our minds, our bodies, and so on. But that there's a limit to its profitability. It does profit, but only a little. And so to do whatever we're talking about, carpentry and so on and so forth, these are all good things, but they only profit to a certain extent. Mm. And I think it's a matter, to me, I would agree with pretty much what Al was saying there, but just that you don't even need to get, to me, you don't even need to get too nitty-gritty. It's just a matter of priorities. Is your priority the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or is your priority collecting seashells on the beach?
Yeah.
If your priority is the right thing, have some fun with your seashell collection.
Yep. Well, I mean, there's lots of questions we can ask. Like, can you do whatever it is that you're doing? And honest, and you really got to be introspective here, Steve, because you got to be real careful. Because I'll ask the question, can you do it while obeying and worshiping God? And I know for a fact the sin in your heart is saying, well, I'm outside in nature. I love to hang around and get fresh air. I'm with my friends. I use it as a way to talk to people and get to know them. Sometimes I even bring up the gospel and things like that. And you lay down all these excuses to say, well, actually, yes, it's completely a gospel effort and I'm worshiping God. When in fact, it really is about you. You use that as an excuse so you can go to your hobby. And you got to be real careful with that. And only you can answer that question. Mm-hmm. Only you can really answer that question, you know? Like these guys who play sports and they say, well, I'd love to worship God when I'm playing sports. But the entire time they're focused on themselves. They're constantly seeking to dominate and they go home mad every week. How?
Yeah, I just focus on scoring when I'm playing. I think that, you know, my perspective on all that kind of stuff is when we do our best at something that we're created to do, that is to be creative, to use our bodies, to use our minds, to do our work, in of itself, we are glorifying the Creator, and we don't need to worry about turning it into some sort of sideways spiritual mumbo-jumbo.
No. Okay, yeah, keep going.
To my mind, it goes back a little bit to what I was saying about balance before. It's whenever it pulls me away, and I think we all have that tendency. I think, actually, Steve, you might have said your question, so I'll just pick on the way you worded it, whatever you meant exactly by it. But if you're in church and you're looking out the window wishing you were doing your hobby, that's probably a balance issue.
Yep. Yeah, that's that just happened a few weeks ago. That's why I wanted to bring up this question. Yep. I literally saw the bald eagle circling. I was like, oh, I should be out there flying.
Or, and hopefully your pastor's not listening to this, or...
Sorry, Edgar.
It's a pastor issue.
Well, again, okay, hold on. Let me track on that. If your
hobby, I don't mean to jump on someone, but
no. But think about this: if you condition yourself that your hobby is the only way you can be entertained, or that your level of, or the only way you can hold your attention is to be part of your hobby, whether it be movies or whether it be sports or whether it be whatever, then you go to church and everything around you is boring. The people are boring. The mission is boring. Yeah. Your appetites are going to be skewed. Therefore, your desire for worship and your desire for fellowship and your desire for confession and things like that is going to be off because you have ruined your appetite.
No, that's right.
You got to be real careful with that.
See, I was on holidays. We went and visited a church, and they did 27 minutes of announcements about internal church things with having people come up and talk about their various things. There was a picnic coming up, and they did this puppet show introduction thing to it that was very poorly done. It was like 2 70-year-old women doing this puppet show thing. It was all insider lingo that we had no clue what was going on. 27 minutes. Our kids were like crawling out of their skin, like pulling my, leaping over the back of their chairs, rolling around the ground, crying. And that was just me. Then there was the kids. And honestly, the service was no good. The music was that, like, where the music was played, like, boom, 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 And then they start.
And that was Shine, you know, Jesus Shine.
That was Shine, Jesus Shine. And then the guy that preached, you know, he talked about interesting tidbits of wisdom he got from somewhere other than the Bible in a slow, monotonous voice. And I remember thinking to myself, why am I here?
I wish I was out flying.
No. The point of all that is just to say that I always hate when somebody says, you should. It's always your fault if you have a problem with worship. But at the same time, good call. I love when people say that, because 99% of the time, our problem is we're the problem. You can worship with music styles that aren't your favorite because it's not mm-hmm. about you. It's God is the audience. You can listen to a pastor who preaches in a stylistic way that's different than what you like. And you can listen to the Word of God still, as long as he's preaching the Word of God. Right. And so a lot of that, I think so much of it, I find that as a parent with my kids. My wife and I like to talk about sometimes, when we think the kids are having a bad day, it's really often our attitude is having a bad day.
Yeah. No, it's a very good point. Very good point.
So I want to balance that pastorally.
That's a very good point. I remember just hearing the story of some famous guy, I can't remember, Max Licato, or I can't remember. And he,
Al Degeneau,
he was at an event, and they played a prank on him. So they had the band, they had the band come out and do like this ultra hardcore, like super thrash metal version of some, hymn, like, as the deer, right? Or like, and he says, you know, and, in his book, I was reading, he says that, you know, first couple lines or something, it was really hard to get into worship because it's very distracting. But as I settled and tried to listen to the words and just try to allow God to worship, you know, he's like, and by the end of the song, I was able to enter a presence of worship, and they come up and they're laughing and patting me on the back saying, ah, ha, ha, we got you. And he's like, what? Oh, no, that was okay. You know, like it was because he was willing to enter into a place of worship. And so yes.
But it would also be objectively wrong to make a thrash metal version of Is the Deer.
Back to Thor the water.
Okay, I got one more last question. This is another point on this, Steve, if you're listening.
Yes. Thank you for your question, Steve. We have a lot to say to you,
it's
though.
So nice to have a face-to-face with the guy that's asking the question, Steve. Does it give you real rest? So you think about yourself, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual. Does it give you rest in that, or does it take away from your rest? Because if the whole point is that you Sabbath and you're able to enter into another week of mission at work, at whatever, and it's actually given you a rest, then you are going to be better at work, better at your family, better at whatever the mission that God has given you. Otherwise, if it's not, you're going to be worse. It's taken away. And I'm not saying it can't be taxing. For example, you know, crossword puzzles or whatever, and you're using your brain or exercise or sports or gardening in the hot sun. You know, like, I'm just saying that only you know if it's really building up your faith and connecting you to God and resting your mind and heart and body to recover yourself for the service of God and your family. That's a question you need to ask yourself. Is this sucking me? Is it a drain on me, or is it actually helping because it's allowing me to rest?
Yeah, and I can answer that question in an interesting way. As of a year ago, I was playing once in a while professionally with a band, and I found that after playing events, I'd be very tired, not wanting to do it again. Mm-hmm. And kind of answered my question when I started thinking about this upcoming year, I resigned from that band because it was taking energy and not putting any back. Where some of the other things I do, you know, I'm almost bouncing when I'm done because I'm so excited and that was awesome. Yeah. And I get to show, you know, my wife, look what I made. This is awesome. Yes, dear. Very nice, dear. You know, and I just, you know, get to just appreciate, you know, so much creation and be thankful for the opportunities I have so often with that's one of the biggest things that when I get to do some of these cool hobbies.
Well, I'll tell you what, Steve.
I'm thankful to God for them. So,
Steve, your church needs you. Your family needs you. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so if you're spending your time and your energies and your efforts on these hobbies at the expense of your church and the expense of your family, then you're not being obedient to God and you're not using that gift for his glory. Yes. And so I know too many families out there, like, for example, hockey is a great example, or a lot of sports, which now they happen on Sunday morning. Yeah. And I was at meetings where they would say things like, oh, this person, you know, they love God and they love the church. We're looking for deacons, but we just can't pick this person as a deacon because they only attend, you know, like half the services because mm-hmm. they're always at tournaments and they're always at practices. And they've chosen hockey over the service of the church and stuff like that. They love the church. They're here. When they're here, they're great. But you know what? They're just not committed. I don't want to replicate them and their commitment level among the church people. So therefore, their hobby, which the sports of their children would be a hobby, is absolutely getting in the way of the service to their church, you know? And so if you're taking off constantly, or mm-hmm. you're constantly drained, or you're constantly broke because of your hobby, then you're not doing service to God or your family.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I fully agree with you that.
Steve.
Sundays and church need to be priority. And what's really cool with some of the guys I fly with, they know Sunday mornings, Steve's not available. They won't even tempt me anymore because I said, you know, please don't even let me know that stuff's going on.
And your family, though. Like, you gotta be, I mean, if you're taking off on your kids and taking off on your wife and because you have to go to these things, then you are not obeying God.
They sometimes ask me to go.
Yeah.
No. You know, I was going to say, Stelmate's really good points. Your family and your church do need you. But if your family and your church are taking you away from your woodworking so much that it's taken you years now and I still haven't got a bottle stopper or a pen, then maybe you're not spending enough time in your hobbies.
Thank you, Chad. I really appreciate that. No, you're absolutely right.
The rule was you had to visit me, Chad. It's sitting upstairs. I already have, this is...
Yes!
This actually isn't yours, but...
Oh.
No, but you know what? You're absolutely right, Chad. And that's another episode. But if you are at church and you feel like your church is sucking you dry, you're probably involved in too many things and you need to pull back.
That wasn't exactly what I meant, but I'll go with it. Great spiritual point.
It's true, though.
I've actually felt, from a pastoral perspective, I always struggled with the fact that Sunday was probably my biggest work day. So while people talk about taking a Sabbath rest and just focusing on worshiping God, all I was worried about was, is the bathroom clean? Is the sign out front? Is the music okay? Are the microphones working? Are there batteries in here?
The children's service people actually showing up.
Yeah, where are they? I'm making phone calls trying to get them to come. You know, and on Sunday nights, I would usually... Actually, I usually was kind of wired and I couldn't fall asleep for quite a while. And then sometime like midnight or 1 a.m, I just crash. You get up on Monday and I'm just like a zombie, like, bah. Yeah. And then the kid's like, let's go to the zoo. Let's have fun. This is a day off.
Why is daddy mad all day?
Yeah.
It's called adrenal letdown. That's why.
And you're just like, you know, I found ways to deal with that and to find, I'm not going to get into a bunch of details because it's boring right now, but I think there's a sense in which any of us can overschedule our church stuff. And I think part of that is because our culture is so fixated on eventism.
Yeah.
So, you know, you do that, your school has events, your whatever. And and so we get church eventism and all we're doing is event. I think it kind of makes us a bit like Pharisees.
Yeah, it certainly does.
And we're, I'm so active in my church. And, well, can you tell me a little bit about what Jesus means to you? Well, one is on Tuesday. And, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's not how families work. A family doesn't, you know, like you have an annual family get together, but family is just together. We're just together, you know, like whether that's good, bad, or otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, guys, for answering Steve's question for Vancouver Island. I really appreciate you guys. And it's, it's good things to keep in check, you know, that church is a priority, that your prayer time with God is a priority, your study time with, and your family. And if those things are well and there's leftover, then that and the hobby doesn't take away from those. That's so important. So thank you so much, guys, for clarifying that.
I remember reading something about margin, and there was a, you know, the illustration was a piece of paper. And if you ever get a lined piece of paper, you see that there's a red line down one side and the top has some white lines. And that's called the margin. And the idea is that your life, you shouldn't schedule 100% of it. You shouldn't write on 100% of it. You need to leave yourself, you know, 80, 85% that's full, and then 15% or 10, 15% that just isn't. Yeah. You know, that's your margin. And you try to work it out that way.
Yeah, well, thank you guys. If you're still listening, remember questions for next week's season finale. Send any questions. Join us live. And it's
live. Join us live.
1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Well, this has been Carnivore Theology with Chad, Al, and Steve. We thank you for listening today as we talked about balance and time for hobbies.
That's right.
If you want more from Carnivore Theology and get some custom merchandise.
Merch! Socks!
CC's pillow! Look behind Steve. See the pillow?
Pillow.
Yep.
I also wore the socks when I was in Alaska. That was pretty cool. I wore Carnivore Theology socks.
I was just told that superfan JD DeClerc thinks his Carnivore Theology mug is the best mug there is and uses it all the time.
Far out.
Proof by some pictures of his on Facebook.
Awesome.
Really far out. Cool.
Yeah.
Shout out to JD for using the mug.
JD, my man.
Nice. We have bulletin inserts, posters. All on the website.
Go to the website. Nobody uses these things. Come on, people. Just sneak them in on Sunday. If you're an usher in your church and you have access to the bulletins, go print those suckers off and sneak them in there, at least on the
it's
one
you're
carrying.
It's easier to ask forgiveness than to ask permission.
It is. It just really is. Plus, if your pastor's not a fan of us, then you're probably in the wrong church.
Probably in the wrong church. In fact, go visit other neighborhood churches with a stack of these. Just walk down the pews or whatever they have, flop a bunch of them down, walk out, go to your church service.
That's right. That's right.
Especially if, you know, it's one of those churches you're not sure about how it is. You know, people need, you kind of rescue.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You just, if you show up in your Carnivore Theology shirt and they don't know what that is, and they say something like, milk to meat, what's that? You leave.
But don't leave without dropping off a few advertisements.
Leave some advertisements. That's right.
Yeah.
What else we got there? Okay. Keep your closer going.
I'm afraid I might just have to jump to the end because...
we pretty much ruined your flow, didn't we?
Yeah. Check out YouTube, Facebook, iTunes, and connect with your local biblical church. Give them some flyers, as the guys were saying, and keep your eyes on the cross.
That's right.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Find out more about Carnivore Theology, get some custom merchandise, download bulletin inserts and posters, or send us some ideas about topics you'd like us to cover, visit our website at www.carnivoretheology.com. For even more Carnivore Theology content, check out our new CT Shorts video series on our YouTube channel. If you like what we're doing, please share us with your church and friends, like us on Facebook, and rate us on iTunes. And, as always, we encourage you to connect with your local biblical church and keep your eyes on the cross.
Wait, it was on already?
I didn't know that. Far out. Okay, go for it.
Oh, no. What was Steve recording?
You'll find out later.
Maybe he got Chad as Stupid Sexy Flanders. We will never know.
Stupid Sexy Flanders. Okay.
Sexy Chad.
Okay. Resume recording.
Stupid Sex Chat.
It's our new favorite song. Stupid Sex Chat.
Okay. Welcome to our behind the scenes recording of the podcast.
For context, Chad is wearing Lululemons right now.
I'm bringing theology back.
Yeah, Chad is admitted he's wearing Lululemon pants, and he's talking about how super sexy he is.
Which is why we're filming from the nipples down. On all three of us, because nobody wants to see below that.
We're glad you're... No, I can't say that now. We're glad that they're watching.
We're glad you're with us still, despite...
to think about that. Well, actually, guys, do either of you have hobbies that can just... You can be talking about yourselves in this.
World's worst transition. That was awesome. How am I supposed to edit that?
Okay.
The middle part of the question was you doing the wave.
let's try that again.
Let's try that again.
How about you guys start answering, then I can ask you about your questions at the end. Or your hobbies at the end.
What? Like, you get into a riveting 4th century text on the deity of Christ, and you're not going to go to sleep that night.
Oh, man. How many times?
And so, actually, a little side note on that. I just started reading this great, I know it's not patristics, but I started reading the first time there's this kind of collection in English now of Anselm of Canterbury's major works. That guy is more brilliant than you've ever known. Anyway, I would recommend that. And
productive of to produce money or something from your, I don't know how you put that, from your life, something productive.
What if you have investments that make money all the time?
Well, no. What?
do you need to like pause your investments?
No, dumb. You have to. It's a day different. A day set aside for worship and relationships with fellow believers.
Yeah. Well, thank you, guys. If you're still listening, remember questions for next week's season finale. Send any questions. Join us live. And it's
join
live.
Us live.
Well, 1 p.m. And speaking, Pacific Standard Time.
And speaking of those questions, little funny tidbit from Anselm's book on why did Christ become man. He says for the mentally weak, the question and answer format is the best way to gain information. And so he was going to write for the dummies.
There you go.
And he created a dialogue, and his dialogue partner's name is Bozo. So if you come
is
and
it
bring
really?
Us... If you come and bring us a question next week, we promise to treat you like Anselm treated Bozo.
Yeah, if you could make everybody, if everybody's handle could be Bozo, that would really help Chad out.
By that, what I'm sure Anselm meant was that he would try to simply explain things in a way that would help even Al to understand.
Even Al, in vulgar language.
Oh, yeah, vulgar language.
Next week for question time.
Yeah.
Are we offline now?
We're offline the video, but we're still recording the audio. So if you want to say something funny, now's the time.
No, I was just I didn't want to say it on the video because then it would go live. But when Al was talking about people being broke and not having their money, then that weird Al version of that naughty rap song came on, and all I could hear was, "Cause Al ain't messing with no broke."
All right, stop your recording. 3, 2.
Oh, wait, no, you were recording? I told you to stop.